and welcome to the Magical Druids Pagan Gumbo Podcast. I'm Ed. I'm here with Seamus and Michael from the Magical Druid here. On this serving, we are going to be serving up some fun conversations about Yuletide monsters, creatures, mythology, things like that. All things around Yule. So I know very little about this subject, so please feel free to educate me as well as everyone
educate
listening.
You?
Yes.
We're going to educate Ed.
That sounds like we're going to spank him or
terrible. Well, I mean, it is Krampus.
It is Krampus. All. Have you been bad?
Maybe a little bit.
All right.
We'll get the switches.
Yes.
that's for the second podcast, the After Dark podcast.
So we're joking about it right now, but I mean, Krampus is kind of that anti-Saint Nick from the European mainland, particularly the Alpine and High German sort of areas. And in that area, they have these great parades where they walk down the street dressed in these animalistic outfits with horns and teeth and long tongues and things like that. And Krampus comes through on Krampus night and steals away the boys and girls who have not been good. And he carries these switches and smacks those that have been
that deserve it.
Naughty, that deserve it. And he plays a definite counterpoint to St. Nicholas, who goes through and, of course, gives out presents at the same time.
So. Yeah, I tell people this is the old saying, be good for goodness sake, was because you didn't want to be bad. Depending on where you were, it was like Michael said, he would spank you with switches, rods. Other times he may
kidnap
you and take you away. And depending on the time and the Christian influence, that he would either going to boil you and eat you or take you to hell or do something with you because you've been a naughty little boy or girl.
It's been interesting because my kids, having grown up around this Krampus parade, I remember a conversation once with my daughter, or maybe it was my son, one of the two, and they said to me, if Krampus takes me, will you come get me? Yeah, I'll come get you. And keep me from getting taken, and keep you from getting taken. So
it must have been Leo.
Probably. But one of the two of them asked that question of me. And so there was some reassurance that goes on there. And honestly, with all of these Yule beasties, because Yule it's a dark time, frankly. It snows. The traditions come from a place of the year has been plunged into darkness. There's scary things out there. You get caught outside and you can't get inside. There's problems. And so a lot of those concerns sort of wrap up into the season and come out in these vaguely monstrous sort of experiences. And so you get things like Krampus. You get things like the Yule Cat.
Yes.
Who's a particularly fun one. He's a giant cat who sits outside and peeps in your windows. And if they see, if the cat sees a child who is not wearing new Christmas pajamas, he'll come in and eat you.
Which seems like double punishment.
It does, doesn't it?
You didn't get new pajamas and it's somehow your fault?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds horrifying.
my daughter was very scared of the Yule Cat for a little while and doesn't like it when I tell the story, so I
understandable. I don't like when you tell the story either.
Well, get new PJs.
Apparently, yeah. Got to make sure I got those new PJs.
There was also the Yule Goat.
Yule Goat, yeah.
Yule Goat, which
is not a monster, but instead it's a decoration, I suppose. It's a communities in Scandinavia would build giant wicker or reed goats and set them ablaze
but I know some places though the goat was a goat man who would deliver presents.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the early pre-Christian ideas of Santa Claus was wrapped up in this goat man.
It's interesting and it's not all demonic kind of looking things. There are a lot of traditions also associated with bringing the light in, lighting up your tree. There's St. Lucy, who wears the crown with the
the
four candles on it, and circumambulates the house and all those kinds of things too to sort of bring the light in.
Reminds you almost like a Yule log kind of thing, like something similar to that.
And there's Grandfather Frost, you know, which was a precursor to a lot of the Santa Claus. Had his granddaughter help him in Russian Slavic myth. But yes, a lot of the same associations we have with Santa Claus and Saint Nick would have been that, you know, Grandfather Frost kind of idea. Because again, if you're living in that area of the world, it gets quite cold and barren, and you see white forever. And this isn't, you know, the mindset of the snow plow or the snow truck will come in tomorrow and get you out and you can still make it to school. This is, you were snowed in and away from society for a month at a time or more.
Yeah, much more dire, much more like survival focused.
Yeah, and I find it odd that a lot of these traditions have to do with children. But then again, I mean, you're stuck in a house with children. You would probably want to make it about them, right? You would want to entertain them. You would want to control their behavior.
Yeah, like tell them, don't be locked outside because otherwise something will come get you. But really the thing that will come get you is the cold.
Yeah.
Don't be...
Wear those warm pajamas.
Yeah.
Those new pajamas. Yeah. That's right.
But I mean, you mentioned the Yule log, which is a fairly modern... We think about it as an ancient tradition. It's a fairly modern tradition. But it's that idea that you would have a log that would burn through the 12 days of Christmas, which are not the days leading up to Christmas, but the days following. And we've put our own spin on that locally here.
Yeah.
Lisa has the 12 days of Yule that she's been doing, which are a fabulous project. I love how it flows from, you know, the wandering stranger.
Sure.
On through Mother's Night and starts at the solstice and ends 12 days later. It's a really nice package of remembering what the holiday is all about.
Sure. And nightly ritual devotion so that each night you're highlighting, you know, your male ancestors, your female ancestors, you know, different aspects. And then you've got Jan with
The Yule Spiral.
The Yule Spiral, which lighting up candles and mimicking that Yule log.
Yeah, it's a spin on the Advent calendar.
Correct.
So it starts on December 1st and runs through to the solstice, 21, 22 candles, depending on the year. And each one is associated with a deity or a story or something like that. And the way that she's built it, it's three spirals that go in, one for the storm, one for the fire, and one for the wind, I think, or the waters. Must be the waters.
The storm would be wind.
Yeah, storm would be wind. So I have to go look it up because I have to do it with my kids in a few days.
2 days. Yeah. Well, that brings up a point, though. A lot of the traditional Santa Claus, Saint Nick, Krampus, Yule cats, Yule lads, which is another great thing happening. Those all happened at the beginning of December up to solstice or up to a later Christmas. It was only later that we kind of transitioned and made everything happen from Christmas to New Year's.
Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with shifting the celebration to match up with the Christian celebration.
Right.
Because that's what most people did. And why would you give presents to kids for a full month? Let's be honest. They get plenty.
It's quite expensive at some point.
They get plenty, and it's all good.
Here's one sock. Guess what you're getting tomorrow, Ed?
The other one.
But yeah, no. A lot of the shifting and a lot of the way that our traditions, particularly the way that we perceive those traditions, is influenced by Christianity, and it has changed the way that we interact with the winter season as well. To say nothing about the retail season.
I know what about. It was pre-COVID that we started doing the Yule Lads.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always have to have that asterisk that there was 2 years that nothing happened, but probably 6 years, 5 years, we've been doing Yule Lads, which I have taken great joy in doing. Lisa and I drive around and we visit all the people who have asked us to visit them as part of the Yule Lads. And we do The traditional things, we'll leave things in shoes that when the shoes are set out. Now, the old way is where you would get candies or something good in your shoes. If you're a good kid, you'd get a rotten potato in your shoes or eventually coal if you were a bad kid. But the Yule lads would come successive days, just like we were talking about with some of these other things. And I really enjoy it. Sometimes I don't get good direction on which house it is, so I vandalize complete strangers' houses because that's what Yule lads would do. And by vandalize, I mean like I might unscrew the porch light and turn over the trash can, or if they've got ornaments or decorations or something on the front porch, I might, you know, mess with those. But it's always fun to do that, and keeping in the spirit of the Yule lads, I at least once every 3 years, but not any more than that, because I know I would get beat up by parents. I try to leave kazoos and whistles and toy drums and things for the kids so that they can make a little bit of mischief. But I always like the Yule lads. You should look up the list of their names. They're amazingly funny.
Girl Spoon Licker.
Spoon Licker, which is an extremely skinny, because he never gets enough, but he licks wooden spoons. And there's Stubby, who steals pans. Sheep Coat Claude, who harasses sheep. Because, you know, you've all got sheep around. Pot Scraper, who, you know, steals leftovers and things of that nature. So they're always cool and fun. But that's just some of the pagan and or, you know, non-traditional creatures and ideas that you can do around Yule.
Yeah, and as a parent, one of the things that I think is important to say is that we have the ability and in some ways I think the responsibility to make it to make this holiday fun for our kids. And to give them kind of an ownership over how this holiday will go. And it's been enjoyable to me to have the kids enjoy your Yule lads, because they put their shoes out and I get to tell them, no, I'm not the Yule lads.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell them entirely truthfully, it's not me. I'm not doing this. No one in this house is doing this. It's great. But we do Reverend Jan Avende's Solstice Spiral. We've got we've got copies of the book on the website. So if people are interested in what that is, you can pick up the book on our website. We've been doing that. We do some Krampus stuff, and the kids really get into it. And that is the best part about doing these traditions, is watching them light up with it.
Yeah, that's always been one of the best times of this time of the year too. It's just like the amount of like wonder that you can see in people's eyes when about this time of the year, especially kids. It's so you can see the magic.
Yeah, it's harder and harder to do. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, you could go downtown here to one of the major department stores and they had these wonderful windows and, you know, Santa Land, and you would, you know, be able to really, as a kid, I mean, you got to see the, you know, I mean, like, it was amazing.
Everything was tricked out.
Yeah.
We had the wishing tree down here too.
That's right. Yeah, the wishing, yeah. I mean, just because things aren't the way they used to be, I'm going to do my grumpy old man segment here, but even Saturday morning cartoons leading into Christmas when I was a kid, you were led to believe that these toys were amazing. I mean, they never lived up to the commercial, but, you know, if you were lucky enough to get your Evel Knievel or your Hot Wheels or whatever it was you thought it was, your new Barbie, maybe Polly Pockets, whatever it was that they were advertising, they made it seem magical. I almost feel like it's our job to inject that magic back into to make it about these traditions and maybe a little less commercial, you know, teaching the kids the value of making, you know, even if it's just a simple potholder that you could give people that you made and you put the energy in and you thought of the colors so that you're going to give it to somebody and know that they're going to like that because it's Ohio State colors or whatever, you know, to make it more than just a massive shopping event in the middle of the darkest part of the world, but to to somehow ignite that light of wonder and magic in everyone. I don't know.
The other thing that we do, you've mentioned igniting, the thing that we do on the solstice every year, the winter solstice, is we turn off all the lights in the house, we hide candles all around in all the rooms, or most of the rooms, usually not all the rooms, but most of the rooms, and then the kids go and they find the candles. So we do a candle finding. And as they find them and bring them to us, we light them on a tray. We carry that tray through the house till we've got all the candles. And then we take them down and we set them in front of the fireplace. And we kindle the fireplace. And then we can turn all the lights back on.
Nice.
So we bring that light back.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That sounds like such a fun time.
It is.
Like, even as an adult, that sounds like so much fun.
I mean, for candles, fire, kids, what could go wrong?
I know, right? For folks listening, it's important to note, if you want to try this, one, we leave the candles unlit in the dark rooms, so they find those, and we light them as adults. And two, a tray with candles that are lit gets both heavy and hot. So, if you're going to do this, think about that and make sure that your tray is not too heavy and it doesn't tip. I've got beautiful pictures of my wife carrying the candles through the house. I've got several of them, and they're lovely photos, but be moderate in how many candles you hide.
I just have a vision of a deep serving tray.
Yes.
With and I'm going to steal from the UU some sand so that you can put the candle in it. But still, you're talking some weight.
Yeah.
But yes, candle safety, people. Candle safety.
Yeah,
yes.
We use votive candles that are poured into the glass so that.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, votives. Even better. Yeah.
Yeah. That way, if they do fall over, they drown themselves.
Sure.
You just get waxed.
So not going to lie, I was thinking of like chime candles, and I'm like, how are you even doing that? That's incredible that you have that much balance.
I was thinking of 6-inch pillar. No. Light it up, boys. No, I was, you know, you could even use LED, I guess. You know,
you could.
Little, you know, whatever.
That's far safer. I totally endorse that idea. You do not have to play with fire and matches to be traditional.
If you don't have a fireplace, you could go to the hearth. You could go to the stove.
Stove is a great hearth because everyone gathers around it for mm-hmm. meals.
Get your apple cider with your mauling spices ready and just make it a full evening.
Mm-hmm. Go wassailing.
Wassa!
Yeah.
So that's probably just about all the time we have for this one. But we'll see you soon on Pagan Gumbo Podcast. Ed,
yeah.
You want to lead us out here with whatever you...
That's some of our different traditions that we do here. If you guys want to borrow some of those, tell us how they go. That'd be awesome. And in general, just let us know what you guys do for the Yule times. And yeah, happy holidays. Blessed be whatever you guys do. I don't know how you guys close this out. So how do you guys normally close it out?
Two things. info@magicaldruid.com if you have questions or comments, or hit us up on Facebook. What's the other one? Instagram are probably the easiest ways. Until we see each other again, be good to each other. Walk in out service, to be free. In love, and toss and turn,
I call your name. I'll do that next time.
Peace, love, and monkey fun.